Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net. I'm Jay Cruz checking in. It is Friday, November 22nd, a week before Black Friday, which will this year feature a National Football League game on, naturally, Amazon, which will be making so much money on that day that they can afford to definitely pay the NFL rights to have an exclusive game. As far as a matchup, it'll be the just recently knocked from the undefeated ranks, Kansas City Chiefs, and they will be playing the Las Vegas Raiders. Up until this past weekend when Buffalo knocked off the Kansas City Chiefs, the Raiders were the last team, in fact, to have beaten the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. The Niners came close in the Super Bowl, but not quite close enough. And that was last year on Christmas Day, so it was almost a full year. Kansas City also coming close to tying New England's record for longest streak of unbeaten regular season games. Anyway, that'll be next Friday, Chiefs and Raiders on Black Friday. Maybe you can check out your brand new big screen TV and see what's happening with Mahomes and Max Crosby doing battle. So, and around Thanksgiving, that is when football really gets interesting. First of all, high school ranks, the Friday Night Lights crew, you guys are in the playoffs. There's been teams eliminated, season's over, and there's teams that are schools that are advancing and playing off against the other big superpower teams that have had successful seasons and regional playoffs all throughout the state of California and the country of the U.S. And with college football becoming essentially semi-pro football, as it kind of always has been, now it's much more in the open, and I am someone who is applauding that move with college football finally paying the athletes and not just throwing free classes their way, which, you know, let's face it, most folks that are going to college on scholarships are going to try to extend the athletic career as far as they can. At some point, they'll hit the books and use the college connections of some education and connection of meeting classmates and whatnot, but they're there to play sports. And especially if they're going to play basketball or professional football. Football because, you know, let's face it, from the ages of, say, 18 to 22, that's when men and humans are growing and maturing. And just the size, speed, power factor of full-grown adult young men, even at a couple years older than athletically developed high school, you know, it's definitely a big shift. So congratulations to the high school teams that are advancing and moving on, and for those seniors that will either be playing maybe their last game, last bit of hurrah. This could be the big bang. You know, hey, I was on the team that went to the state finals or won the regional championship or was in the regional playoffs, and then, you know, then life happened. I went to school, not on a scholarship, and a sports career was over. For those folks who will go on to play college sports, which still quite a bit, and, you know, if you get on a scholarship, use it to your advantage. I mean, you know, get the best of the education that you can, and, you know, look into some of the potential NIL money. Name, image, and likeness. With social media now, it's pretty easy. You know, you're going to be pretty much stacked in as an influencer. And, you know, the way it's changed is so much where there's a number of colleges out there that the position that used to be known as the athletic director, the person that would be in charge of, you know, athletics for the university or state college, whatever it be, that position has now just been referred to as the athletic general manager because of the NIL and the transfer portal and the fluidity and liquidity and constant change in college sports. It's tough to follow as a fan. You know, in a lot of ways, something has to go. If you're watching football and you decide, okay, I'm going to really follow the pros, that's when I have more time for it. I'm always interested in the pros. College just changes so much. It's tougher to keep on top of. And now with the transfer portal and all of that stuff, it's even that much more difficult. But it is, you know, kind of figuring itself out. College football, again, on Division I, is moving on to an actual semi-legitimate playoff this season. And, you know, 12 teams will be playing for the college national championship as opposed to, you know, the Final Four and the fictitious AP and old UPI and coaches rankings that would, you know, determine who is ranked number one. And if that team could keep their role going, they'd probably end up in a big bowl game and playing for the national championship. So, Thanksgiving, that's when college football rivalries and bowl bids and conference championships begin to happen. And in the first weekend of December, there's a number of the big conferences have their playoffs. I think I reported on the Sport News, the Sporting Live Super Segment on our HRN News at 7. That takes place Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Pacific time that I anchor, if you didn't know that. Anyway, I said that Oregon has clinched a spot in the Big Ten final game. Also the SEC, I think the ACC has a game. Anyway, so a lot of conferences will be having their championships, and there's a 12 teams that have been ranked with possibility of others getting in or out, as all the losses and wins right now definitely matter a lot more onto the teams that are going to be going into the college football playoffs. We'll try to take a look at that a little bit later, or probably next week's show, because there'll be a lot more clarity after a few things happen this weekend. One of the big games this weekend that could determine who will be the opponent for Oregon in the Big Ten championship is the game between Indiana and Ohio State. Indiana's had an incredible run, and you talk about a team benefiting from, I don't know about NIL so much, but the transfer portal. You know, their coach came in. He was former coach at James Madison, and he brought basically his 10 or 12 best players that said, yeah, we're leaving James Madison. We're going with you to Ohio State. And, you know, they've all put in an impact this year, and Indiana's been undefeated. They play Ohio State this weekend. Ohio State with one loss so far. That was to Oregon, and not by a lot of points. The winner of that game has the inside track to go into the game against Oregon for the Big Ten championship, which will have a big say on the college football playoffs. Oregon, obviously from the Pac-12 West Coast team, going and winning the Big Ten, or being undefeated so far and getting in there. So some things that's going on. It was announced early this morning, big news in the NFL, although I don't think anybody was really surprised. It's been a strange week for the New York Football Giants. Strange in that in the beginning of the week, they announced that they were benching quarterback Daniel Jones, who's he's been ineffective. Hasn't been that good. The Giants paid a lot of money for him because that's the inflation of the quarterback position. Not saying quarterbacks or players don't deserve their money. They work hard. They go through injuries. If you don't know what they do injury-wise, just check out that series Quarterbacks on Netflix and see what Kirk Cousins and Patrick Mahomes went through just to try to get on the field. Mahomes goes through these crazy stretches that seem like they would break your back just working out, which puts his body in the pliability when you're in the middle of a pileup of, say, six or more players, about 1,000 pounds of football players on top of you, you know, bending your leg backwards. So he's done a lot to work on that. And then Kirk Cousins, he had this like holistic husband and wife team that worked around the clock on nutrition, massages, meditation, just all this stuff to just get him physically and mentally ready to get out there and play the game next Sunday. So, you know, yeah, there's other people in society and other positions and professions in society that maybe should get paid more than they do. People always point to teachers. You know, teachers have a union, and they're not the poorest people out there. It is a pretty good profession. You know, in some cases, they certainly could be making more, and especially the influence that they have on kids. But not every teacher is great, just like not every athlete is great. But that is the going rate. These athletes do sacrifice their body and, you know, maybe their life, too. When you think about it, a game like football, average age for an NFL player is somewhere in the mid-50s to early 60s. That's not long. Yeah, they're rich and, you know, maybe live a pretty glamorous lifestyle, but they go through a lot of pain. There's not many players who are either in the league or out of the league that can say they've not had major surgery. Many of them, multiple surgeries, and have to continually have that. And depending on the position you play, there's, you know, more injuries that can happen. Anyway, Daniel Jones released by the Giants. He was re-signed by the team a couple seasons ago because of the way the contract structure came up. And I'm going to say because of the Cleveland Browns, who went out and paid way too much money for Deshaun Watson, and we see how that turned out. That set the precedent, so every quarterback's agent can go, well, if the Browns are paying Deshaun Watson this money, my client has better numbers than Deshaun Watson and is therefore worth more than him. So that quarterback money just, you know, skyrocketed, where Daniel Jones, at, you know, some point in his contract was going to be making like $40 million a year if he hasn't already for a season or two. I mean, again, good money if you can get it, but Daniel Jones was like one of the four worst quarterbacks in the league. I don't think he would ever on any metric rank higher than 28th or 29th. So, you know, the Giants, if you watch the Hard Knocks series that was on the offseason, you know, because of that contract, they weren't able to re-sign Saquon Barkley, very good running back who's having an amazing season with Philadelphia. Whether he'd be doing that with the Giants or not is kind of remains to be seen. He's kind of fired up. The Eagles are fired up to have him, and, you know, a bit of a change in energy. But you know what he's making compared to Daniel Jones and the production that Barkley's giving you is just, you know, night and day. But again, it's scarcity of position, which we talk about that a lot in fantasy football drafts and other sports drafts, and Daniel Jones, kind of the classic case. So the Giants are releasing Daniel Jones. He actually made the request to be released, the team announced today, Friday. Jones met with the Giants president and owner John Mara and had multiple conversations with Coach Brian Daboll Friday morning. The two sides mutually agreed it would be best for him and for the team to move on, Mara said in a statement. Jones wanted to play, and this gives him a chance to latch on with another team before the end of the season. And that is certainly true. A change of scenery, a new coach, different teammates, different situation, you know, could give him a chance to flourish and be a, you know, productive, serviceable, and maybe, you know, top talent pro in the future. Now, the move ends a six-season run for Jones with the Giants, mostly as the starting franchise quarterback. He was number six in the 2019 NFL draft out of Duke, and he finishes with a 22-44-1 record with 70 touchdown passes to go against his 47 interceptions. Now, the Giants, who are 2-8 and will probably be close to getting the number one pick for a new quarterback next year, benched Jones on Monday in favor of third stringer Tommy DeVito. And Tommy DeVito had a little run last year when Jones was injured, and then the second string quarterback got injured. Tommy DeVito, I think that name was used in Goodfellas on a fictitious character played by Joe Pesci. anyway, Tommy DeVito lives in New Jersey at his mom's house, you know, saving money. And he had a agent last year that he had to let go because the guy got a little too full of himself. But his agent was getting him on TV, and this guy was It was like straight out of a Martin Scorsese movie when you saw him on TV. So Tommy DeVito had a bit of a cult following and put up some decent numbers. He's been named the starter. Jones said Thursday during his first comment since the benching he wanted to remain the starter. Naturally, but the team told him with its record, it wanted to make a change at this point of the season, regardless of whether he was willing to address his $23 million injury guarantee. So they were like, yeah, if you get hurt again, we are going to definitely owe you that money. And with the NFL, you know, they're paying him a lot of money. That's his contract. But the NFL can also say, guess what? You're gone, cut. And that money is no longer coming to you salary-wise. There was probably a big signing bonus and a certain amount of guarantee. But the team is like, yeah, that big full number on the contract, we're going to eat the rest of that and move on. NFL teams make a lot of money. As a friend of mine said one time, if they're paying that guy $50 million, the team is making $51 million at least off of that person. They're not losing money. And anyway, Daniel Jones, as far as his future, I don't know who would be picking him up off waivers right now, but there's teams that could use an experienced quarterback. He's got 6 years in the league as a starter, even though unsuccessful. Again, a different... different plays, change of scenery. You know, the Giants did make the playoffs a couple seasons ago, and that's what kind of got Jones his contract extension. I was with Coach Brian Daboll. You know, they came in, they did get to the playoffs and actually had a victory against the Minnesota Vikings that season. Jones's free agency came up, and there you go, big payday. So a couple teams that could desperately use a quarterback, and even Jones might be an upgrade either now or heading into next year with a full season to work out with a new team. There is the New England Patriots, although Drake May, the guy that they drafted, number three overall, I think, this year, he's starting to turn it around. He's starting to play a little better, but the Patriots, they're in a straight-up rebuilding year. Nobody's making any qualms about that, least of all the Patriots. We've got a really solid defense and a not-so-solid offense. Drake May is beginning to improve, and, you know, he needs a little playing time and growing situation for the Patriots. And as a backup, they do have Jacoby Brissett. I don't see them making a move to pick up Jones and using him as a starter, because the Patriots aren't going anywhere as far as playoff consideration. So they pretty much figured this would not be a great season. They're rebuilding, and there you go. Another team that could be looking at a quarterback and has a much more murky situation and future is the Las Vegas Raiders. And they signed quarterback Gardner Minshew III in the offseason. That's a funny, just let's name him Gardner Minshew and repeat. Anyway, Gardner Minshew's kind of been a cool character in the NFL. He's bounced around a little bit. He's had some modest success, although not much this year with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders made a change with the offensive coordinator that had the Bears' old offensive coach. Ironically, the Bears fired their offensive coach this year as well. And Chicago's offense with Caleb Williams and some other talent underperforming. So Gardner Minshew hasn't exactly lit the league on fire as a Raider. Their record heading into this week against one of their arch rivals, the Broncos, and the next week they play the Chiefs. They're 2-8. They could be 2-10 by the time we talk at the end of the day next week. Denver's turned things around, and that'd be a tough one for the Raiders to win. But you never know. It's a division rival, and up until this season when they played earlier, the Raiders had beat the Broncos like 6 or 8 in a row. So, but Gardner Minshew hasn't really led the team offensively to very many high-scoring games. They struggle to get to 20 points. Aiden O'Connell, maybe a little better in that he's still young and they can coach maybe bad habits out of him. Gardner Minshew has a little gunslinger attitude and sometimes will take some chances, and that's led to a lot of turnovers this year, more than in the past. I mean, he's always kind of been average above average, but nonetheless. And then Aiden McConnell, he's been serviceable, but not super. He's still young, and he's still growing, and he's injured at the moment. And then the Raiders signed Desmond Ridder, who's bounced around. He was starting for Atlanta. They were unsuccessful. They let him go, and they signed Kirk Cousins, and then Ritter was signed to the Arizona Cardinals practice squad, and then the Raiders signed him from that practice squad when McConnell got injured. Daniel Jones to the Raiders, I could see that happening. You know, he won't exactly lead them to the playoffs, but he could be an upgrade over who they currently have. And, you know, he'll come at a bargain compared to the $40 million or $23 million he's earning now. And the Raiders haven't clinched the number one draft spot for a new quarterback yet. Many eyes are on Deion's son, Shedeur Sanders, who expects to be one of the top draft picks, if not the number one pick. Quarterback out of Colorado, Deion's turned that team around. A lot of transfers, and, you know, they're even on the cusp of making the college football playoffs compared to only a couple wins last year. But when he took over that program, he took over a team that only had one win. So Shedeur Sanders, son of Deion, so he's already got that pedigree, and he's been successful big-time college football with the Buffaloes in Colorado. And a lot of teams are looking at him as a potential number one pick next year. Jacksonville could be in that running. They have Trevor Lawrence. Questionable they'd be sticking with Trevor Lawrence. To be honest, Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew have very similar statistics. Trevor Lawrence was drafted number one out of Clemson. The Jaguars have had some success, but this year and end of last year, they definitely have fallen back. So Jacksonville might have a hand in what's going to be happening. And now the Carolina Panthers, they're bad as well again. They might decide, you know, this Bryce Young thing's not working out, and they might draft Shedeur Sanders. So there's another possibility of Daniel Jones maybe resurrecting in Carolina. And, you know, Bryce Young is kind of their future, but he hasn't really... Now, the Panthers have a lot of problems, so whether they go for a quarterback again at the top of the draft would be questionable since they have so many other needs. But a team like the Raiders, you know, they could probably use them. Panthers, it'll be interesting to see. But nonetheless, I'm sure a team will pick them up probably by the end of the weekend. And interesting as that New York football is not in happy situation. The Giants and Jets with a combined 5 wins between the two teams, and both looking at a lot of changes. Obviously, Jones out for the Giants, and the Jets fired their general manager, Joe Douglas, this week. Woody Harrelson would be a better owner and football mind probably than Woody Johnson with the Jets. But he even suggested benching Aaron Rodgers. Maybe not the worst idea. But who else are you going to put in there? Ironically, the Jets are more successful with the guy that they couldn't stand. He's now the backup in Denver. I'm Jay Cruz, Fantasy Sports Friday. We're going to take a break and come back and look into the playoff scenario with the National Football League.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back. It is Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net. I'm Jay Cruz, and I had to think for a split second exactly what show I'm doing. I anchor the HRN News at 7. First Wednesday every month, we have a musical program, Backbeat Radio. Sometimes that expands into other topics, and Fantasy Sports Friday. That's what we're doing right now. If you missed the first part of the show, we're just kind of talking about the Daniel Jones quarterback situation, which has come to an end for the New York Giants. You can always go to the podcast on-demand link here at HealthyLife.net Radio. And before that, I was talking about how Turkey Day, Thanksgiving, is when football gets real. High school, Friday night lights, you're in the playoffs or your season's over, and maybe for some guys you're moving on to college, and for some you've had a good run. Now you got to figure out what to do after high school. And then there's the college football season that's coming up to an end. You got big rivalry weekend. Now you have college football playoff in the A division. And there's going to be a lot of big rivalry games coming up this weekend. Here in Southern California, the big one, USC, UCLA. I also mentioned in the Big Ten, Indiana and Ohio State will be doing battle. I know Ohio State and Michigan are massive rivals, but Indiana's the team that is currently standing in the way of Ohio State getting to the Big Ten championship, so that's a big game going on over the weekend. And Army's playing Notre Dame. That's a pretty exciting game. So a lot of bowl implications and, you know, college players who are trying to advance to the pros. You know, there's going to be college guys playing their last game and others who are in a bit of an audition for the NFL. So we're about 10 or 11 games into the NFL season, and I believe it's officially week 12. And it started on Thursday night with a fun-to-watch game, probably not fun to sit in, even though there were some shirtless Cleveland Brown fans. And I wonder how they're feeling today. Just curious. They were shirtless in a 29-degree snow flurry, and I'm sure there was some antifreeze consumed prior to, during, and after the game. Cleveland with a win 24-19 over the fairly red-hot Steelers, who had just got to first place the week before by defeating Baltimore in an interesting game in which Pittsburgh won 18-15, didn't score any touchdowns, but had 6 field goal kicks. So, if the playoffs were to start today, and they're not, they'll be starting in about 8 weeks, or early January, 7 teams in each conference makes the playoffs. Now, you got some teams right now with, say, 7-3 records, maybe 6-5 that are currently on the bubble for the playoffs, and you got a couple teams that are maybe 5-5 or 4-6 that look like they're completely nowhere near the playoffs. I guarantee you, one of those teams right now that's looking like they're a lock to get into the playoffs will not make it, and one of those teams that looks like it's a wing and a prayer will qualify. Happens every year. Teams right now heading into each month of the season gets a little more difficult and a little more realistic. As teams get closer to the championship, that team that came out of spring training, summer camp, has now evolved into things. There's been injuries. They've gone out and found their identity. They've won games. They've lost games. Now everyone has lost a game with the Chiefs falling from the unbeaten last week. But they're still the number one seed overall in the NFL and definitely in the AFC. So let's take a look at the teams that appear to be in if the playoffs were to start today. The Chiefs, number one in the AFC West, they're in. Buffalo is number one in the AFC East. They are in. Pittsburgh, with a loss on Thursday, is 8-3, number one in the AFC North. They would be in. And the Houston Texans, who've been on primetime TV the last 3 weeks in a row, they are 7-4 and have a two-game lead over the Indianapolis Colts. At this moment, they would be in. So that's your four division champions. There are another three teams that would qualify as the wild card. Baltimore is 7-4. The L.A. Chargers are 7-3. Ironically, in a heck of a matchup, those two teams, both coached by brothers, the Harbaughs, Jim and John. Jim in L.A., John with the Ravens. And, of course, they had that Super Bowl roughly 10 years ago that Baltimore won. Remember Beyonce at halftime and the lights went out? Anyway, Baltimore and Los Angeles Chargers would be your next two teams to qualify, making six if the playoffs were to start today. And then who's next? Well, currently Denver would be that team at 6-5. They could go either way. They could be one of those teams that makes it big or goes the other way. Indianapolis is still a dangerous team with possibilities. They're 5-6. Cincinnati, maybe a little far out. They're 4-7. They would have to win all their games, I think, to qualify. And the Miami Dolphins, now with Tua Tagovailoa back, they are 4-6. They have an outside chance of being that team that would make the playoffs. Over into the NFC, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles at 8-2. They are leaders of the NFC East. Detroit, well, they and the Chiefs share the best record in the league. The Lions are 9-1. In the NFC South, it's the Falcons, currently 6-5. And 6-4, Arizona leads the NFC West. Now, the teams that would be next in order before the division champions, which would make four teams there. Now, Atlanta's only one game ahead of Tampa Bay, so they're not a super lock. And the NFC West is wide open. You've got the Rams, Seahawks, and Niners all tied at 5-5. With seven games to go, they're all one game behind the Arizona Cardinals. So that could change. And the Seahawks and Cardinals play this week. So Seattle could feasibly be in first place by the time we talk next week. NFC South, again, Tampa Bay is two games behind the Falcons. The Saints have seven losses, as do the Panthers. The Saints and the Buccaneers, more of a shot than the Saints, but they could still overtake the Falcons in that division. The NFC North is very interesting. Minnesota's kind of crashed the party. Many people thought it would be Detroit and Green Bay at the top of the NFC North, with Detroit maybe being the better team, Green Bay being a solid team. Both teams fell short to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC playoffs last year, but both teams had good leads and looked like they could have won those games against San Francisco. The Bears were the team everyone thought would improve, but they have not lived up to those expectations, but they do have been a little growing pains with Caleb Williams, rookie quarterback. In the NFC East, I think the Cowboys are pretty much out. Dak Prescott, he's out. I mean, he had to have a surgery on his hamstring. I guess his muscle tore from the bone. Too much information. Hope you're not eating. But yeah, it's pretty graphic. He's obviously not well, and the Cowboys are already with seven losses. They take on arch rival Washington this week, and Washington's favored heavily. Washington is also coming off the slight rest. They played last Thursday against Philadelphia, in which the Eagles kind of ran away with the game at the end and looked to be the best team in the NFC East. Now, Washington has been a super surprise. They've been kind of my favorite little team this year for being the little engine that could and a team that's turned things around. Jaden Daniels, I think he's got to win Rookie of the Year. He's been dealing with a rib injury, which has sort of slowed down their unrelenting momentum that had carried them through so many games up until the Philadelphia game last week. But, you know, Washington's a team I think will qualify for the playoffs. They could still turn into the team from last year. So Philadelphia certainly looks strong and maybe one of the best two teams along with Detroit in this conference. Minnesota, again, very surprising. They've showed some weakness in the last few weeks, but they're still 8-2. And ironically, that's another quarterback who might be going somewhere else next year, Sam Darnold. He's had a very good season, helping the Vikings get to 8-2. I don't know. If I was Minnesota, I might turn around and trade J.J. McCarthy, the rookie who they got in the draft. Sam Darnold's effective. He's still pretty young. I would lock him up and see what I could get for young McCarthy and trade him to one of the teams that might be looking for a young quarterback. He's coming off an ankle injury or a knee injury. Something happened in the preseason. But Minnesota's going to go with a young guy and let Darnold go. If I were the Raiders, I would sign him. They need a quarterback big time, and he would be a better option than Daniel Jones, unless they can somehow secure Shedeur Sanders, which would still take a while as a rookie to pay dividends. Green Bay 7-3. Green Bay plays the San Francisco 49ers this week. That game has playoff implications. The Niners somehow have lost all their home games, and they've lost to every team in their division at home. That's a team with a Super Bowl hangover. There have been a pile of injuries. Brock Purdy is a little injured and is actually questionable for this coming game. And Sam Darnold was their quarterback last year. Now they have Josh Dobbs, who ended up backing up in Minnesota for a period of time last year and starting with Arizona for a while. Who knows if he gets some playing time. The Seahawks and the Cardinals play against each other in Seattle this week. And the Rams will host the Eagles. Now the Rams definitely need a win if they're going to keep alive too. But this division is quite tight. The NFC South pretty tight as well, but Atlanta a game ahead. And then the NFC North is tight, but all those teams, with the exception of the Bears, will most likely be in the playoffs. Kind of looking at one team from the NFC South, one team from the NFC West, whoever that is. Although this could be one of those teams that's 5-5. Could the Rams, Seahawks, or Niners turn things around and become a 10-win team and go 10-6 and qualify for the playoffs? Well, maybe a team like Washington or Green Bay or even Minnesota could end up losing half of their next games and somehow not getting in there. So it can happen. I remember years ago, the then Oakland Raiders, it was in the 90s, they had gone 8-2 in the first 10 games. Everyone in Oakland thought, man, they came back to Oakland, things are great. Let's start getting those playoff tickets printed. And then they lost 6 in a row. Ended up 8-8. So anything can happen. There's a team right now that looks like they're coasting to the playoffs that won't make it, and there's a team right now that looks like they should just make wholesale changes that will be in the playoffs. So it's going to be a fun month of December, and again, the NFL gets real, as all football does, right around Thanksgiving. So if you're a football fan, that's something to be thankful for. I'm Jay Cruz, Fantasy Sports Friday. We'll be right back.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody go! Wayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold off. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
We're back. Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net. You probably didn't leave. Maybe you just tuned in. If so, we do the show every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, usually by the time I get the hiccups. And if you missed any of the previous part of the show, you can always go to the on-demand page and check it out. And listen on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific time. That's when the show happens. Talking about some current things, NFL news, the L.A. Chargers have played their way into another primetime appearance. Justin Herbert and company had their Week 16 home game against the Denver Broncos flexed from Sunday, December 22nd to Thursday night, December 19th. That means I can't go to the game. I'll be working late the 19th, and there you go. So Friday's announcement makes this the first time a game has been flexed to the Thursday night spot. The league amended its policy last season so that Thursday night games in weeks 13 through 17 could be flexed with at least 28 days notice prior to the game. And teams can make more than one appearance on Amazon Prime Video's 16-game package. Only two games per season in the five-week window can be flexed. Now the matchup of the AFC West division rivals, who are both contending for playoff spots, bumps the snoozer that was scheduled between the Browns and the Bengals to Sunday afternoon. Perfect time for a nap. Now, despite the hiring of Jim Harbaugh's coach, the Chargers were one of six teams without a Thursday night game when the NFL schedule was released in May. Their last appearance on Thursday night last season, boy, what a night and day difference from that one. They got spanked by the Las Vegas Raiders. They gave up 63 points, and it ended up being the last game for general manager Tom Telesco and coach Brandon Staley. They were whacked right after that game. You give up 63 points to your arch rival, probably going to lose your job. Ironically, the Raiders went and hired Tom Telesco as general manager. I can see that might be a questionable move looking back. I liked Antonio Pierce as coach. I didn't like the Tom Telesco hiring, but nonetheless, I'm on a super tangent. It's the second time the Chargers have been flexed into primetime this season. Their 34-27 victory over the Bengals last weekend was on NBC Sunday Night Football after bumping the matchup between the Colts and the Jets. And the Chargers, who are 7-3 on a four-game winning streak, host Baltimore this week on Monday Night Football in the third matchup between the brothers, John and Jim Harbaugh, as coaches. The Chargers game December 8th at Kansas City is also on a Sunday night. Denver is 6-5, and they're currently the number 7 seed in the AFC for a playoff team. I kind of apologize a little bit to Sean Payton earlier this season, and often have called him an overrated coach. He's done pretty good this year. He's turned the Broncos around. Nonetheless, they had a Thursday night game October 17th when Sean Payton went back to the Bayou to take on the team he made his fame with, the New Orleans Saints, and they took care of business 33-10 with Payton's return to New Orleans. The Broncos have a Monday night game against Cleveland, December 2nd. Good time to Christmas shop. The Chargers beat the Broncos 23-16 in Denver on October 13th. That was the game where Harbaugh briefly went to the locker room due to an irregular heartbeat. I've really kind of bought into the Chargers this year. I'm a big fan of Jim Harbaugh. He's had positive success everywhere he has been. I mentioned this a little earlier, I think. Wanted to follow up on it. During the HRN News at 7 this week, I reported on the fact that Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, a couple members of the Chiefs, had their houses, homes, broken into while they were playing. And it's a trend that the FBI is now warning professional athletes. The NFL got a stern memo from the feds this week about that, and the NBA is following up too. They are urging their players to take additional precautions to secure their homes following reports of recent high-profile burglaries of dwellings owned by Milwaukee Bucks forward Bobby Portis and Minnesota Timberwolves guard Mike Conley Jr. That's on the heels of Chiefs teammates Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Now, it's one thing when you're on primetime TV, like the Chiefs or the Timberwolves or the Milwaukee Bucks or any sporting franchise. I remember once I had a relationship. was sort of coming to an end. And my girlfriend at the time had a quote-unquote friend that she had invited over to hang out and watch videos when I had an overnight radio show to do. Back then, we couldn't pre-tape a radio show, and I couldn't just come on home and check on things if I was feeling like maybe I should check on the house. Nowadays, that's about the only event that you can't necessarily pre-record is a professional sporting event. So these athletes are, you know, pretty much in a rock and a hard place while everything they own and have worked for is sitting there at home, and they're running around tackling and shooting hoops. In a memo the NBA sent to team officials, a copy of which was obtained by the Associated Press, the league said the FBI has contacted some or connected some burglaries to a transnational South American theft group that are reportedly well-organized, sophisticated rings that incorporate advanced techniques and technologies, including pre-surveillance drones and signal jamming devices. Now, Conley Jr.'s home was broken into September 15th, when he was at a Minnesota Vikings game and jewelry was taken. Now, he wasn't playing, he was watching a game. Officials told the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Bobby Portis said his home was broken into November 2nd, and he's offered $40,000 reward for information related to the incident. That means he lost about $100,000 worth of stuff. Now, the homes of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were broken into within days of each other last month, according to law enforcement reports, and the NFL issued a similar warning memo to its teams this week. Now, the NFL and other pro sports leagues received a briefing from the FBI November 15th. Sources told ABC News the NBA memo, relying information from the FBI, said the theft rings are primarily focused on cash and items that can be resold on the black market, such as jewelry, watches, and luxury bags. Bling, bling. Now, the NBA, which has also been giving guidance to team security personnel, recommended that players install updated alarm systems with cameras and use them whenever leaving the home. I would also get a dog. Keep valuables in locked and secured safes. Remove online real estate listings that may show interior photos of a home. Utilize protective guard devices, again, a dog, and during extended trips from the home, and even have dogs assist with home protection. Like a dog, not a, you know, little foo-foo dog, like a cat could handle. A dog. Obviously, it's very frustrating, disappointing, but I can't get into too many of the details because the investigation is still ongoing, said Patrick Mahomes, and I didn't impersonate him. You're welcome. Obviously, something you don't want to have happen to anybody, but obviously yourself. One of the break-ins involving the Chiefs players happened October 7th on a game day. Bobby Portis of the Milwaukee Bucks was also playing a game when his home was robbed. And a couple years ago, when the LA Dodgers got robbed by the Houston Astros and Jose Altuve in the trash can banging cheating incident that's never going to go away from the Astros and that besmirched asterisk of their World Series championship, it was Game 7. And then Dodger outfielder Yasiel Puig, he was a member of the team. They didn't win. He got home and found out his place had been burglarized in Encino. Again, when you're on TV and playing in a big game, you're obviously focused on Game 7 or in the Chiefs' case, whoever they happen to be playing. And, you know, again, sometimes it's hard in the day of social media to not, you know, not show off things that you have. But when you're, and of course, with pro athletes, I mean, again, they all make money, and, you know, why not buy some cool stuff? You know, a fancy watch, nice car, this and that and the other thing. But in these economic times, it's no longer such a safe thing to do. Keep in mind, 49ers rookie Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver, who's just got on the field in the last couple of weeks. It's remarkable that dude's alive. He was shot in the chest, point-blank range. I don't know about point-blank, but close. As he was in Union Square in San Francisco, a city that used to be safe. Thank you, Governor Goodhair, follow the money, Gavin Newsom. Anyway, San Francisco used to be, you know, there was always some things going on, but you'd have to worry so much about crime like now. I mean, big cities have them. San Francisco used to not have this issue. Either way, I might be naive, but when you're wearing a Rolex watch, other people take notice. I have a nice watch. It's not a Rolex, but, you know, a Rolex. There was a guy at the Redondo Pier who almost got shot at because he had a Rolex watch. Nothing against a Rolex watch. I'd like to have one or three or be able to afford to choose an item like that. And, you know, if you work for it and earned it, you know, enjoy it. Anyway, Ricky Pearsall shot in the chest. So, you know, the bling-bling items that athletes can't afford and all seem to have, well, there's a certain group of people out there that are targeting them because they know they're rich and now they have decided to start breaking into their home. So that's kind of an interesting development that's happened a couple times in Los Angeles, which, you know, you kind of chalk up to, if you watch a lot of movies, you know, L.A. has a, we've had all the best cops and robbers and crime shows either in Los Angeles or New York or sometimes Chicago. But L.A.'s definitely had its more than fair share of trippy crime, especially against the well-to-do because of the Hollywood glitz and glamour. Nonetheless, let's move on to looking what's coming up ahead for the NFL this week. Real quickly, won't be on until next Friday. And I already mentioned the Black Friday game with the Raiders and Chiefs. That'll be on Amazon Prime Video. They'll be making so much money that day. Also, the traditional Thursday game between the Lions and Bears. That'll be your early game on Thanksgiving morning when the turkey's just getting in. And then you're going to have Tommy DeVito starting in place of the just-released and benched Daniel Jones for the Giants against Cooper Rush. He's the backup quarterback for the Cowboys, who Dak Prescott had surgery on his hamstring, so he's not playing. And the Thursday night game at probably 8:30 Eastern, and if you're still awake after a big bunch of turkey, even at 5:30 Pacific time, if you're still awake after a big bunch of turkey, the game on NBC Peacock is the best matchup of the day, in my opinion. And it's going to be tough when Miami is going to be playing in the cold, frozen tundra of Green Bay. Packers and Dolphins. And if the Dolphins are going to have a shot of making that run and being one of those subpar teams that I just talked about that will succeed, and if there's a team that's doing well that might fall, this game could have a lot to say about that. Again, Friday will be the game between the Chiefs and Raiders, and then next week is next week. But I want to mention those games because I won't be on until next Friday. I won't be able to really talk about them. But I want you to know they're happening this weekend. Tommy DeVito and the Giants will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I expect the Buccaneers to win. So does the odds makers in Vegas. They are a 6-point favorite on the road. The Chiefs, after their first loss of the year to the Buffalo Bills, still 9-1, and they're still heavily favorites this weekend. Normally, after a team loses, they're heavily favored the following week, especially a good one. The only issue, if you're going to place a little wager on the Chiefs, is that they're playing on the road. Well, they are playing the Carolina Panthers. The Dallas Cowboys, before their Thanksgiving Day matchup, will travel to the nation's capital to take on their long-term rivals, the team formerly known as the Redskins. The Washington Commanders. Commanders are coming in with 10 days rest. They're favored by 10.5 points, and again, they're kind of my new surprise favorite team this year. I saw them in the first couple of weeks, and I just thought they were going to be going places, and so far they have. They're 7-4. I'd like Washington to probably make the playoffs this year. An AFC East battle, the Dolphins will host the New England Patriots. And again, both these teams, Miami should win the game. They still have those playoff hopes. New England's just trying to get respectability and growing with Drake May at quarterback. The Houston Texans will host the Tennessee Titans. Houston probably will be the champions of the AFC South for a second week in a row. Detroit, they look like the number one team, especially in the NFC, maybe the best team in the NFL right now. And, you know, I'd love to see the Lions win a Super Bowl. They have not won an NFL championship since, I think, 1957. last year, getting to the NFC Championship game was like, oh, man. And, you know, they could have won that game, but there was some questionable strategic things and a couple plays that didn't go their way. Anyway, the Lions, they have a game to not be overlooked against the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are a better team, I think, than their 5-6 record indicates. They're back to going with Anthony Richardson, although Joe Flacco is a heartbeat away. You know, if Richardson gets hurt, which he often does because he's an aggressive runner. However, the Lions are a dome team, and they are playing inside, so they probably still win. They're favored by 7. Minnesota Vikings, another dome team, doesn't play so good on grass, and they're playing Bears arch-rival Chicago, NFC North rivals. The Bears played better than expected last week with Green Bay. It could happen again. Minnesota's 8-2, and I believe we'll be making the playoffs. But again, I said some team that's 7 or 8 wins right now that looks like a lock won't make it. Denver, traveling to Las Vegas. The Broncos need this game if they're going to keep their playoff hopes alive, and right now they're the number 7 seed if the playoffs were to start. Well, the Raiders just need something positive to happen. They started off the season 2-2, had a good victory against Baltimore, and then just as you thought maybe things were looking up, they lost to, of all teams, the Carolina Panthers. And that pretty much kissed the season off right there. More of the interesting news with the Raiders have been things like trading Davante Adams, who wanted the heck out. Tom Brady has been approved as a minority owner, and apparently Tom Brady has been tabbed to make more football decisions in the future, which seems fine and legit, except he's currently got that broadcasting thing to deal with CBS, who paid him like $300 million, not all up front, but he's got some restrictions on what he can and can't do as far as a broadcaster and an owner. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he truly wants to do. As far as broadcasting, he definitely knows the game, and he's improved. I mean, the first, I think, game of the week, people were pounding on Tom Brady. The only thing I think Tom Brady's weakness as far as broadcasting, and it's not such a weakness, he just doesn't have a great-sounding broadcasting voice. It's a little high-pitch, and, you know, he's done a lot of successful things. I just know that my whole life I've introduced myself to people and, you know, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm in radio. Oh, yeah, I can hear the radio voice. And, you know, Tom Brady is like, yeah, I'm in football. I've got all these championship rings that I just shook your hand with. You know, so he didn't need to be in radio. But he definitely knows the game. So, I don't know. I see him wanting the challenge of turning the Raiders into a respectable team and being in the owner's box a little bit more than the broadcast booth. But again, $300 million, it's a heck of a side hustle if you can get it. 49ers at the Packers this weekend. Green Bay favored by 3. Again, the Packers were close to winning last year in the NFC divisional playoff game. They have a better record and seem to be a better team this year than the Niners, who are definitely dealing with a Super Bowl hangover. You know, a couple seasons of the NFC Championship, finally broke on through, got to the Super Bowl again, were leading, and then lost to the Chiefs. And then they've had a pile of injuries this season, mainly Christian McCaffrey. Brandon Ayuk held out, then he was hurt out for the season. And, you know, George Kittle's had some injuries. Brock Purdy's a little iffy coming into this game. But the Niners need this game really bad if they are going to keep hopes alive. And they're a team that has hopes. Green Bay? Again, are they going to be one of those 7-3 teams that doesn't make it? I think they will. I think this is a tough game for both teams. So this one is definitely one to check out. Afternoon game on Fox. Another intriguing game because of the NFC West and its tightness. The 6-4 Cardinals currently leading the division against the 5-5 Seahawks in Seattle. Always a tough place to play, especially for a team from the desert that plays indoors. Philadelphia will be in Los Angeles, right down the street at SoFi on Sunday to take on the Rams, who are a desperate 5-5 team. The Eagles, if they can afford to lose one, this would be it. The Rams are going to be a tough out, but Philadelphia is a better team. And then Monday night, the Harbaugh Bowl. I have really bought into the Chargers. I'm a big fan of Jim Harbaugh. I respect the Ravens. I won't say I'm a big fan, but I respect them and John Harbaugh and what he's been consistently able to do. I'm a big fan of Lamar Jackson, and this is going to be a great Monday night game. So we got two excellent matchups, I think, at SoFi this weekend, and that Monday night game with the Ravens and Chargers. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed Fantasy Sports Friday today. I'm Jay Cruz. We'll be back next week, Black Friday, here on HealthyLife.net Radio.